You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 714, and this is Features Editor, and I'm here with co-head editor and more and more. What's going on? What's happening? What's going on?
Hey, it's cold. That's what's happening. I can't really feel my feet, and I need to get warmer socks.
He's
But
put a lot of snow supposed to hit here this weekend. We're looking at about 8 inches, which is a lot of snow, so
gotta get the flannels together, everything bundled up. But yeah, like that's good because then you get to listen to more music when it's snowy. It's always fun. It always evens out.
I will say, Em, when Sam was on like 4 or 5 weeks ago, she said, I was talking about how I'm kind of tired of seeing carbon copy bands, you know.
Oh, yes.
And Sam's like, "Well, John, are you jaded?" I'm like, "Well, not jaded." And I actually got annoyed, I'm not annoyed at Sam, but annoyed that she would suggest that I was jaded because I am definitely not jaded. And you know, a lot of former Punk News editors, I think, did get a little jaded, but I am so not jaded. And I am so into music right now. I mean, especially
Good.
honestly, like Turfport, like I think there's only two singles out right now, the new record, but both of those singles are so good. They're so menacing sounding, even though they're grunge, they're kind of like mean grunge sounding. And I am so into music right now. I'm so into Surfport. There's a lot of cool stuff coming out. It's a good era for music right now. And there's a lot of
It
cool tours,
yeah.
which we're going to talk about tonight too, of course. But we are going to talk about some of the drawbacks as well. So I don't know. I'm feeling very positive about music right now. I'm feeling very positive about music journalism. I'm loving the new Peter Murphy record after we beat him up for an entire year. Turns out his new record is freaking great. It's
Good.
great. It's best. It is literally. It's either his best solo record ever or his second best solo record ever, with the other one being
Cool.
Lion, the one from before this one. I mean, because Peter Murphy's got a lot of bad solo records, like boring, you know. And I think it's so funny that his record label is literally a 7-minute drive from my house. Peter Murphy, who I think lives in Turkey now, but has lived in LA and of course is from Britain, his record label is 7 minutes from my house, Em. And I emailed them, Em, and they had no interest
Yeah.
whatsoever. They're 7 minutes from my house, Em. 7 minutes.
To think
P.O.
what could have
Box
been.
I-74. What could have been?
What could
So
have been.
anyways, what could have been? Also, At Night has a new record out right now that's pretty good. At Night, of course, a Philadelphia band, kind of witchy. They're going on a hiatus, and I feel as though this hiatus is going to be the end of the band.
Oh no.
But we'll see. Well, you know, for a lot of bands, especially with, you know, At Night, you know, they're not kids anymore, so they all have like different life responsibilities, you know.
True.
So
Yeah, that's fair.
I think sometimes people think optimistically, oh, after I take, you know, after I adjust to this new phase in my life, we'll get back to the band. And it's like I don't think it's gonna happen. You know, like sometimes when someone like if a band is in, say, like New York City and one member moves to LA, they're like, oh, we're still gonna be a band. It's like, sure, you know. Also this Junior Mervin record, Cool Down the Heat, which is kind of a reworking of some old tracks. Super good, and it's a good time for music. It's a good time for tunage.
It is. There's so many like album announcements coming out. Dry Socket just announced a new
Yeah.
album. I'm so stoked for that. It's going to be so good. Very
Well,
excited.
speaking of new music, and then we'll get to the news because it is a big news week this weekend. Big news week this
Oh,
week.
so much
A lot of
news.
news. However, last night, and M, thank you for pushing back recording a day. I do appreciate it. M was able to
No
push back
worries.
recording a day so I could go see Cassie Ramone and Colleen Green down at Rainbow Records in Newark, Delaware. Rainbow Records, real good record store right near the University of Delaware. If you are going to the University of Delaware or near there, go check them on out. So it was an opener, and then Colleen, and then Cassie. Colleen did almost all brand new tracks, not even recorded yet tracks, which was kind of cool. Although also kind of daring. Most bands hate, like I think the Melvins refuse to play unrecorded tracks live, or even unreleased tracks live. Like they only play so the people know, because the fact of the matter is people definitely respond best to songs they know. One of the great exa I'm going off on a tangent already, but one of the great examples ever is, and what's Led Zeppelin's biggest song?
Stairway to Heaven.
Of course. And on the Led Zeppelin BBC Sessions disc, that's the first time they played Stairway to Heaven. It wasn't even on a record or anything yet. What do you think the audience reaction was?
Freaked right out.
Well, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
They freaked right out.
No, they didn't. It was like, oh, okay. And so
Oh.
if a song as legendary as Stairway to Heaven is doesn't really capture the audience, if they haven't heard it before, it can be a daring thing. That being said, Colleen did almost all unreleased songs, except for I think she only did two. And actually they were like my two favorite songs from her last record, which is my favorite one so far, which was it was I always call the song like the long way, but that's not the song. She did You Don't Exist, which I love, and she did Highway. And I think those are the only two songs she did that she's released. Anyway, the new songs, surprisingly to me, are actually sort of more close to I Want to Grow Up as opposed to Cool, her last record. So they were kind of more pop punky, kind of with the new wave bounce. But I will say, M, the new song, like, wow, like the actual songs themselves are incredible. They're like super well written songs. And really, I mean, I don't think she's recorded any of these things yet. She needs to get in the studio and get these down and then get them out. And annoyingly to me, M, is if she hasn't even recorded these, we won't even hear them on record for at least a year, you know? And they're so good, and I really wish that. Well, I hope she records them because they're super good. She was so good, actually. I'm going to go see her in about 8 days because she played Delaware and then she's playing Philadelphia like 8 days later, which really aren't that far away from each other. Cassie Ramone also played. Cassie Ramone played almost only songs from her latest album or her newest album, and she was awesome too. Colleen is kind of poppy, kind of catchy, kind of weird. Cassie is really more like metaphysical, heavy. And like this massive soaring sound. Her album is called Sweetheart. She was awesome as well. So if you have a chance to go see Cassie and Colleen, go see them. It was only $10. So, a little cheap. So anyway, so that was real cool. Em, anything else you want to add before we get to the news, or should we get to El Nuzo?
I think we should get to El Nuzo.
Okay, well, this was the big news of the weekend.
Yes.
And I had actually I was aware of rumors about this for over a year, but I didn't really have any hard confirmation, and I wasn't sure, I wasn't exactly sure what the deal was, so I actually didn't report on it. But then the band reported on it, and then things get even weirder. So anyways, I guess it was last Friday or about a week ago, NOFX opened their NOFX exhibit at the Punk Rock Museum, and that's kind of like, of course, you all know what the Punk Rock Museum is. I don't need to describe what the Punk Rock Museum is. So that was at the Punk Rock Museum. It was NOFX exhibit, which was all NOFX stuff. They had a roundtable discussion with three of the four members. Mike was there, Eric Sandin was there, El Jefe
Yeah.
was there, Aaron Abeya, and a manager was there, or a road manager, or the sound guy. There's a few other people there, and they did a
Was it
roundtable.
Kent?
Who's that? Kent who?
1 minute, let me look. Let me look. Ah, fuck. He's our manager.
Well, maybe. So I'll let you look it up while I keep talking.
Yeah.
And so, when pretty much as soon as things started, Eric Sandin, who they call Smelly, who I feel bad about calling him a Smelly, but I guess he doesn't care. Like, I feel bad about calling Fat Mike Fat Mike, and I've gotten that he likes being called Fat Mike, and I've gotten that he doesn't like being called Fat Mike. So I don't know what he likes being called, but
I
so
think
Eric Sandin.
Smelly gave himself the nickname, if I'm remembering correctly, because like they talk about
Maybe.
it in Hepatitis Bathtub.
Excellent book, actually. I read that probably about
Yeah.
5 6 years ago. Excellent music book, really good. So, anyways, so Eric Sandin opened up the thing with kind of a weird statement. He's like, "We," and I'm paraphrasing here, but you can see the video at Punk News, unless it gets taken down, which as of now, it has not been taken down. Kind of surprising to me as well. So, anyway, Eric Sandin says we have to address this, the elephant in the room. Mike's here, Aaron's here, and I'm here, but Eric Melvin is not here, and the reason is that Eric Melvin is not here is the 10 hours after the final NOFX show, Eric served, and he used the word served, legal papers on Mike, accusing Mike of financial impropriety. And all three of us, the two of us that are not Mike, support Mike, and he won't steal from anybody. And that was basically the statement. And so finally, news broke that there was either some sort of a lawsuit or some sort of dispute between Eric Melvin and Fat Mike. And then actually someone else pointed this out in some Reddit form. Mike actually said nearly the exact same thing at the October 31st, 2025 Cokie the Clown show at the Punk Museum. He used the same word. He says there's been legal service. Legal service means one thing. What legal service means is that a summons, a petition, or some other legal filing has been filed with the court, but almost always a summons or a petition has been filed with the court. And then those paper, the notice of those filings have been served, have been given to by a process server or a sheriff, depending on the state, to the defendant at issue. And so both Mike and Eric Sandin said that Mike had been served with papers. So what that means is that Eric Melvin has sued Fat Mike. And we did that story, and it kind of I don't want to say it blew up the internet, but it caught on, and it really caught on. A lot of people read it, you know. So the first part of this thing, Em, is, were you surprised by this? Were you shocked by this? Do you think this will be resolved? Did this cause the end of NoFX, or is this the result of the end of NoFX? And also, what do you think of those papers being given to Mike 10 hours after their final show, as opposed to a month or 6 months or something like that?
I think the timing of them so quickly is very like interesting, because it's like, how long did you wait? You know, like, was this an issue that had just been kind of like simmering under the surface, and then something happened that kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, sort of thing, and was like, okay, yep, I'm doing it now. That's it. We don't have to pretend to be friendly on stage anymore. Like, I'm getting out of here, or like, what's kind of the deal that way? Yeah, like I was surprised about it because, you know, like obviously with they talk about it in Hepatitis Bathtub, and they talk, you know, like with other interviews and stuff, they talk about, you know, kind of like interpersonal conflict and everything. But I don't remember a lot of talk about like the money that everyone was kind of owed or allotted through the band. So I do find that kind of interesting. And then also like the other members of NoFX kind of standing up and being like, well, that's not really what's going on, or not like, we don't agree with what's going on, kind of thing. So it feels like there's a lot more to this story than we know, and I feel like there's a lot more to the story that's going to be made public. What it is, I can't say. Like, I really don't know. But I hope it gets resolved in some way that's going to be beneficial for everybody. But it's kind of hard to walk back serving someone with papers, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So I don't know, like, if they're gonna be like friendly again, or if this is the end of the friendship, or what's going on there. But yeah, what were you gonna say?
Well, it very well could be the end of the friend. Well, the friendship likely ended some time ago. Although the weird thing is,
Yeah.
Mike put out Eric Melvin's records 2 years ago. He put the
Yeah.
Melvinator record. So that was just, they were getting along 2 years ago, you know. So it seems interesting to go from being friends to wanting to sue each other or whatever within 2 years. That's a pretty drastic turn, you know. And so a lot of people took criticism of that 10-hour thing, which
Yeah.
that seems very angry, you know. And from a tactical st well, from a tactical standpoint, I don't know if that really gets you anything. Law-wise, it just makes the other side more angry,
Sure.
and sometimes lawyers like to try to beat each other up, or they like to, this will really piss off the other side. In my experience, that doesn't really get you anything. It only makes the other side fight harder, you know. And in my experience, exhaustion is a better weapon than rage. You know, wearing someone down is a better long-range, long-term combat strategy than making someone angry, because when someone is angry, they get energy and they want to lose even less, you know.
Of
So
course.
now there is one, and I'm not saying this is the case, there is one possible reason why this might make sense, I guess, and that here's what it is. So most civil lawsuits have a statute of limitations. That means if someone does something bad to you or whatever, you have to sue in 2 years or 4 years or whatever the statute of limitations is, right? So it could be that Eric Melvin is worried about the statute of limitations, but he didn't want to sue before the last NoFX show because that would cause a fundamental breakdown of the band. So hypothetically, he could have done that the day after to preserve the statute of limitations, but still be able to function within the band before the very last show. I'm not saying that is what happened. I'm saying that's a possibility, And so I mean, I certainly don't know. If I had to guess, I mean, I don't think Mike is up to financial shenanigans. I mean,
Yeah, no.
I've dealt with, people have a lot of different perspectives on Mike and whatever. And I'm certainly not a NoFX sycophant or a Fat Mike sycophant. But one thing about, if you ask any band on Fat Wreck, they got paid what they're supposed to get paid, And the fact of the matter is,
Yeah.
as far as paying bands what they're supposed to get paid, Fat Records is probably the top 1% of being correct. They really are. So, and I don't see Mike doing that, frankly. I'm not, I don't know, but I don't know. I think there's probably bad feelings about the end of the band or something, and maybe some people wanted to keep making more money or something like that. Who knows? Or, maybe somebody whispered in somebody's ear. People brought up some of the accounts that Eric Melvin followed on Instagram, and I don't want to get too into that because I can't verify that, but you can check that out yourself. And so anyways, it appeared, it so this kind of does answers a lot about the conflict in NoFX, which have been kind of rumors and simmering and whatnot. Also, th this says to me that the band, like, see, the band issuing a statement after thing must mean the band wants people to know about this conflict, right? And
Yeah.
actually, let's back up real quick. Should the band let people know about this conflict? Is that a wise move?
If they want to keep it private, no. If they want people to kind of form their own opinions and pick a side, then yes.
But I mean,
But
why?
I'd
Here's a good example, and pub. So for a hot minute, Chuck D and Flavor Flav were suing each other, okay? And Chuck D really
Okay.
bungled at the beginning, but then after, I want to get too off track. But about 5 or 6 years ago, Chuck said that Flav was fired from Public Enemy, and then Flav says, "You can't fire me. I'm a co-owner of Public Enemy, so I'm still in Public Enemy." And then Chuck D said, "Oh, that was just a big joke. We wanted to show how the news media is bad at reporting the news." And then Flav was like, "That's not true at all. Like, why are you saying that?" And it really made Chuck D look like a real bonehead, and I lost a lot of respect for him. But after that initial blow up, for about two years when they were suing each other, they actually didn't talk bad about each other in the press. And I think both Flav and Chuck D, but I'm pretty sure at least Flav said, "We're not getting along right now, but we will get along in the future." And sure enough, eventually that's what happened. They clearly settled the suit because they're on tour and they're making records again together or whatever. Maybe they don't like each other, but they've squashed the beef, So, M, should NoFX have taken the Chuck D Flavor Flav route and said, "We're not getting along right now. If you want to know, we're not getting along right now, but we will get along in the future again." Or should they do the Ramones thing where they talk trash on each other in public,
I hope it's not them talking trash against each other in public, but
I mean, they are. I mean, they're saying they're
it
suing each
feels,
other,
yeah, I think it's gonna go more down that route, and I think it's gonna get maybe nastier as time goes on because again, like it's a serious thing, and like, especially when money is involved, people get really, really antagonistic towards each other, you know? So that's what it kind of feels like. I want to know what's going on. Has Melvin released any statement or anything?
No, let's look at his Instagram right now. But I mean,
Okay.
back to my question, what do you think the wiser strategy is, Em? Or
Oh, wiser
if
strategy.
you don't want to answer that question, why do you think NoFX purposely decided to make this public instead of just saying, "Oh, he's not here right now"? Or I mean, here's another great example: Bad Cop, Bad
Yeah.
Cop. Jenny was removed or quit or removed. Who knows from Bad Cop, Bad Cop? And the band didn't say anything. If you recall at the beginning, they didn't even mention it, and they just had a woman that kind of looked like Jenny in Jenny's spot, and it's like. And eventually, I guess they weathered the storm and they have sort of gotten over that hurdle. People just stopped asking questions as to what happened to Jenny. You know, not that I care one way or another about the bad cop battle, because I really don't care. But like the bad cop example is the opposite. They refuse to acknowledge there had been any change whatsoever, you know.
Right. I am personally a fan of like dealing with things with the people who it involves. Like with this, I'd say the smartest strategy is not to make it public. It's to talk about it with each other. Like it's to talk about it with Melvin. It's to talk about it with the Fat Mike and Eric Sandin and El Jefe. It's to talk about it like as a group. And kind of figure out what's going on. And I know, like, if it gets to the point where somebody is served legal papers, like, fuck, like, talking's probably out the window. But I think that's what really needs to happen is to have that communication. And if anything, like, breaks down or whatever, then there's different avenues you can do to explore it, you can use to explore that. But I think just kind of having a public sort of trash talk on each other is never a good thing. It kind of feels like even though he did it really soon after the last NOFX
Joe.
show. Pardon?
Yeah, the show. Go ahead.
Yeah. Even after, kind of that time frame, it still feels like there should have been some avenue to explore to start kind of working through it. I don't, yeah, because it's kind of like, well, what does NOFX gain from talking about it? They gain like, oh, I'm on your side, or like, oh, screw him, or whatever. But and obviously now more people know what's going on. And this is something that could have been kept quiet, which I think is what Melvin wanted, would be for this to just kind of be together with the parties involved and not necessarily everybody know about it. But again, I don't know. That would just be my two cents. What are your thoughts?
Melvin has not issued a statement with regards to this whatsoever.
Okay.
My thoughts are that if it was me, I would probably try to keep it quiet. Because why do you want everyone knowing that your dirty laundry and possibly damage the legacy of the band that you spent so hard to kind of wrap up nice and neat? You know, some bands just kind of
Yeah.
fade away, and that's the end. NOFX said it's going to be the end. Here's the last 2 years. Come see us on tour. We're playing all the albums or something like that, you know? So it seems perhaps a little counterproductive. But then on the other hand, you could say, well, NOFX is a punk band and they're honest with their audience and they're being honest about what's going on, you know?
Sure.
And perhaps they see there's a little bit of WWF style interest there. And, you know, the more beefy talk, the more interest remains in the band, because even though NOFX is no longer a performing or even recording band, they've been quite active releasing archive material over the past 2 years, you know. And
That is true.
it seems like there's no end to the amount of archive stuff they have. So we'll see. My opinion would be, you know, I think I would keep it quiet. But that being said, if they feel the fans deserve to not be bullshitted, I mean, look how annoyed we were, or at least I was, with Bad Cop, and I wasn't even really a fan. I wasn't a hater, but I wasn't a fan. So they're like, well, our fans deserve to know what's going on. Then I guess they should be commended for that, you know. I
Sure.
will be interested to see how this what happened with this. Is you said they probably want to be friends again, but actually, that's not, I mean, there have been bands where they've sued each other and then they have become friends again, you know.
Of course.
So, but this is bode well, not really. So, and the other thing is, I don't want to get too deep into it, but on our Instagram, the NOFX account said this is bullshit, and I thought that was like them just being funny, but certain people in the camp were unhappy about the article. And then when I pressed for details, they were vague about it, you know, and you saw those emails, right? And
I did.
so it seems to me that there's massive internal confusion with NOFX. And so I don't know, I mean, it looks to be a real big mess right now.
It doesn't make a lot of sense because if you post something where you are talking about it and somebody reports on it and they are using your words, what is wrong with that?
Because, well, I agree with you. I'm sure I have to be very cool. NOFX isn't one, even though there's a band called NOFX, the people in NOFX aren't the only element of NOFX, if that makes any sense. What am I saying is NOFX, the entity, and the band members of NOFX are two different things, you see. So there's an interesting conflict there, you know. But also, you think they'd have together enough to speak to each other to avoid confusion like this, you know. But also, and then we'll move on. I'm getting ever more concerned that certain websites, especially some that are popular all of a sudden, that really only do like, remember Nirvana? Weren't they great? That they're only posting positive things that publicists want them to post. And actually, Em, as you saw in the email, is somebody tried to bully us, and I'm like, you know, I don't feel like getting bullied. You know what I mean? And but a lot of publications are kind of just giving in to whatever they want the publicist wants them to say. And that's very worrying to me. And that's why it's more important than ever for punk news to remain punk news and report on things, even if it doesn't mean, even if it means we're not going to be best friends with a certain band or whatever, you know.
Yeah, of course. It's the
And
journalistic integrity.
well, more and more labels and PR people are not being shy about requesting stories being pulled, even if they're factually correct, you know, or trying to be tough. And it's important that we are fair, but tough as well, you know. And so when something is news, we need to report on it, and we can't let ourselves get bullied by PR people or whoever, even if they don't like the story, you know. So, I mean, really, what other website really, what other punk website is doing semi hard-hitting news? I got this is not like this is not like Black Hawk Down or something where they were reporting on, or Watergate, but you know, did any other punk website M report on this? You know, this seemed like
Not
big
that I
news,
saw.
you know. So, anyways, so M, final word on NOFX. Will there be an amends, or is this the end of NOFX, even as an entity?
I don't think there's going to be amends. I think this is, or if they're, okay. I don't think there are going to be amends in the immediate future. I think maybe down the line, like, and I mean down the line, like 10, 15 years. There might be amends, but short term, no. What do you think?
I think there will be some kind of, I think they'll never be friends again. I think they'll settle it one way or another. Actually, no, I think they're going to settle it one way or another, not be friends, and 5 years from now, they're going to be friends and do a reunion show. That's what I think is going to happen.
That makes sense.
But here's two bands that are friends, Dropkick Murphys and Haywire. They
Oh,
put out a
yeah.
split, is this a 12 inch? Probably split 12 inch.
Yeah,
The
4 songs each.
12-inch has four, as Em says, four songs by each band. It's got each band covering the other. Dropkick Murphys cover "Always by My Side" by Haywire. Haywire covers "The Boys Are Back," and also each side has the Dropkick Murphys side has a song called "Citizen Ice" featuring Haywire, and the Haywire side has "New England Forever" featuring Dropkick Murphys. So Haywire is kind of one of these new up and coming hardcore bands, and of course Dropkick Murphys are long running, and Dropkick Murphys are becoming more and more political and are standing up against ICE and are standing up against Trump and all that stuff, and it's making me like Dropkick Murphys more and more and more, especially with the song "Citizen Ice." I think Dropkick Murphys M is becoming a late in the day contender for a very interesting band in punk rock, and putting their putting putting their work. Putting their money where their mouth is.
You know, I agree with you completely. Like them, like being very vocal, like being very anti-Trump, doing the song with the Ukrainian band, like all this kind of stuff. Like they're definitely kind of putting, they're showing up when a lot of other bands aren't,
Yeah.
when you would expect a lot more bands to show up, and they're like, haha, no. So it's great to see them doing that. I have seen Haywire show up every so often, but I haven't like dove into them or listened to them. I don't really know anything about them, to be honest. So This will be an interesting thing. I like when bands do splits and it's like, okay, cool, we're gonna like feature this band and we're gonna cover this song. So I think that's gonna be really cool to see how it's what the vibes are gonna be, you know?
I think it's, I actually find most splits to be kind of uninteresting when it's like, here's a song or two songs or three songs by this band, and the other side is three songs by this other band, you know. But when they record together or kind of tie it together on each side, I think that's very cool and interesting and a lot of fun. Haywire is pretty new. They've only been around like 2 years. They're a very buzzy hardcore band right now. They actually had a show in Philadelphia that was like insane, that actually was like out in the street or whatever.
Oh,
And
wow.
it was, I believe it was a place called Bonk's Bar, and it was literally like out in the street, like in the street in North Philadelphia, and it was like an insane scene. So anyways, I think it's cool that Dropkick Murphys are embracing the young folk. I think it's real cool that Dropkick Murphys
Yeah.
are taking a stand. And so good on Dropkick Murphys. I'm becoming a fan again, like I was back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. It's so nice when bands that have been around for a while are still like helping out younger bands and doing all sorts of fun stuff. So hell yeah, Dropkick
Well,
Murphys.
do you think Dropkick Murphys? Well, actually, that's a great question. Is Dropkick Murphys helping out Haywire, or is Haywire helping out Dropkick Murphys?
I think, well, from my perspective, I think Dropkick Murphys are helping out Haywire because like I haven't super like I haven't been super aware of Haywire, so you know, this just kind of solidifies it a little bit. Well, and it's also I think they're from the same area.
I will say
So that's
that
cool.
they're helping out each other, but if I have to pick one side, I'll say actually Dropkick Murphys is helping out Haywire. Haywire is a
Yeah.
very buzzy, modern hardcore band. Very buzzy. But that being said, very buzzy modern hardcore bands, as big as they can get when they're first buzzy. Dropkick Murphys is actually a bizarrely big band. Like Dropkick Murphys can sell like
Oh,
5,000
yeah.
tickets. You know what I mean? So
They're
even though Dropkick
huge.
Even though no, even though not that many people really care about new Dropkick Murphys music, I'll say Dropkick Murphys helping out Haywire because they actually are so much bigger than you think they are, you know. So anyway, this is cool. Here's another kind of cool thing. Henry Rollins has unveiled one of his secret projects a little while ago. 23 Punk said Henry Rollins and Ian MacKaye are working together on a release with that features them too, and the internet exploded. And Punk knew. He said, "Wait a minute, is that exactly the story?" And we looked into it, and Henry Rollins was working on a secret project that Ian was also working on, but it wasn't clear exactly what it is, you know. So we looked into it,
Yes.
and it turned out that what it really was, and then actually things, and in a way, it's kind of Henry's fault because Henry was intentionally vague about it, and he said, "Ian MacKaye and I are working on a project." It's like, well, of course, that's going to, you know, cause, you know, rumors just fly. But it wasn't anything that they actually had created. What it was is gay advert of the adverts found an old tape in her house, and it turned out that it was two adverts recordings, the classics We Who Wait New Boys, but different recordings than ones that had been released. These ones, of course, were produced by Larry Wallace of the Pink Fairies, amazing band. Also, actually, was Larry Wallace in the Divas? I'm not, but also, of course, and what Larry Wallace was in the original lineup of what band, then? What band?
Black flag. That's wrong.
That's wrong. Larry
Yeah,
Wallace of
that's wrong.
Motorhead. Larry Wallace was, of
Right.
course, in the original version of Motorhead. And so anyway, so this is kind of cool. It actually sold out instantaneously. But I was, and I'm not trying to start a beef, but I was annoyed that 23 Punk says Henry. And actually, I'm not even annoyed at 23 Punk necessarily. They said Henry unveils his project, his adverts recordings, you know, and
Sure.
they didn't say, "Oh, we were totally botched the story." They didn't say we got it totally wrong. They didn't do anything of that. And the viewership and readership didn't care at all, and that's scary to me. It's scary, you know. Back in the day, and even now, if we would post like one tiny little thing wrong, people would be all over us and just beating the shit out of us. And in a way, they were right to do so because it kept us on our toes, you know. But we're in this
Sure.
era where facts don't matter, you know what I mean? And so 23 Punk totally got the story wrong, and then they reported the story correctly once it became clear, And they didn't do a retract or anything, and no one cared. I mean, everyone just went along and said, "Oh yeah, that's neat," instead of saying, "Oh, this news source or quote news source is very unreliable." You see what I'm saying? No one cares that the news
I
source that they're
do.
reading is unreliable, which is frightening to me.
It's really, really disturbing because it's like you should be questioning things, and especially if it's like kind of two sides or two contradictory sides. It's like, what does that mean? Why did this run first and now this ran? Which one is correct? What's going on? Kind of thing. So yeah, like if they had just said, oh, here's the update. This is actually what's going on. Like that would be very helpful. Yeah, like you can trust a lot of, or you can trust places up to a point, and then it's also like you have to be aware and kind of like look at different biases, different things, and I think a lot of places and a lot of people take advantage of that, where it's like, oh, nope.
I mean, I'm just annoyed that people are accepting whatever, and publications just are posting whatever,
Yeah.
and they're wrong, and people don't care. And I'm less concerned that the publications are being inaccurate, and I'm more concerned that people just don't care, you know. So I don't know, man. I mean, that's the age we're in, you know. I mean, the president lies all the time, and for a while he was getting fact checked constantly, saying, "This is a lie," but it didn't hurt him at all. No one, no, you know, his fan base does not care if he lies, and that's spreading over to all other kinds of media, which I think is concerning. So anyway, yeah, man, that sucks, man. Although, and what do you think of the adverts and Henry's project?
I think this is really cool. I think the adverts were a band that came up when we did baseless speculation.
Yeah, I think we
But
guessed adverts and
yeah,
UK subs, I think, right?
I think that's what it was. So like we're right. But that was cool. I'm glad that the adverts are getting another kind of pressing. And I do not have a method of vinyling, but all of the vinyl things that are in the picture that's up on Punk News are very pretty.
And we need to get a record player. It's not that hard to do, Em.
I know. It's on my list. I just need to like save up enough for it.
Well, listen, people, if
Yeah.
you own a gear store, send Em a record player.
I will review it.
There you go. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we ought to do a review series. Although I will say, promos companies are stingier than ever, and to a degree you can't blame them, because most of those kind of companies are not making any kind of money. Here's people that are
True.
making money. They might be giants, them who we literally just talked was that last week we talked about them, man.
We did.
So they might be giants who are going on tour, and as with many might be giants tour, that there's a angle. The angle is they're playing at least 2 nights, up to 3 nights in every city they're playing, and of the nights that they're playing, the first set will be an album in full, and then the second set of that same night will be like greatest hits. And actually, this is unconfirmed. Someone said this is the New York ones, but I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if this is just New York or all the different cities. They're going to be doing, let's
Oh,
see
I
here.
see.
They're going to be doing, sorry, bear with me 1 second. I actually texted a certain band member who loves They Might Be Giants, and he wanted to go, but oh, here we go. No, actually, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the dead air, people. I'm trying to find. Here we go. Factory Showroom, Lincoln, and Eyeball, the new record. That is the unconfirmed rumor for at least New York.
Oh,
And
okay.
so anyways, we just happened to be talking about They Might Be Giants last week, and M said, "John, would you go see them again?" And I said, "I probably would." M, did I get 0, 1, 2, or 3 tickets for this?
I think you got one ticket for this.
I got 3 tickets, M. I was
Oh,
only going to get one
okay.
ticket, and I'll
Yes.
tell you why. Because anymore, every show is $100, which, I mean, not like punk shows are actually, punk shows are like cheaper now than they were 2 years ago, which isn't necessarily a good thing either, you know, because
Right.
people, we got to make some money, you know. I mean, I went to see Cassie Green and I went to see Colleen Green and Cassie Ramone for $10, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, but what on the other side of things, like every show now is $100, like every mainstream show, like no matter what is the starting price, $100, which is annoying to me. So I said, fine, I'll pay $100 and I'll go to one show. And guess how much three shows were?
Three shows were, I'm gonna say, I assume you use Ticketmaster.
It's the only way you can get tickets. It's a monopoly, Em. Have you heard of Ticketmaster? They're a monopoly.
No.
They're the only way that you can buy tickets from.
$500.
120 for 3 nights. I can't complain
Oh,
about that. I
not
can't
bad.
argue with that. You know what I
Not bad at
mean?
all.
I was only going to get one ticket, but I said, well, it's 100. And I might not be able to make the last show, but last time they sold out. So I might once again try to scalp my ticket, which has never worked for me ever. You know? But
This is the time it changes.
we'll see. That's why I keep telling myself, I don't think it's going to work out for my no doubt ticket. But so I'm actually pretty excited about this, Sam. I think this will be a lot of fun. And we'll see. And if the first night, if I get annoyed by the first night like I did when I saw them one other time, then I'll just sell my other two tickets. You know, if I want to punch everybody in the room for being such a huge nerd, you know.
Not going to nerd it up to go.
No, if anything, I'm going to punk it up. Generally, if I go to a show and there's a certain vibe, I'll do the opposite. Like if I go to like a Maximum Rock and Roll style punk show, then I'll wear my
Yeah.
Flock of Seagulls t-shirt, you know. But if I go see like, if I go see like, I'm trying to think of like some like Gladdy, who I like, then I'm wearing my Crash shirt. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. That makes sense.
I'm trying to think what I wore when I went and saw Morrissey and Patti Smith. I think Patti Smith, I wore my Cat Bite shirt. I can't remember what I wore Morrissey. So
Not a Morrissey shirt.
I would wear a Morrissey shirt to Morrissey. But actually, no, I probably won't because Morrissey fans are extremely intense, too intense.
Ooh.
And so, well, and the first time I went and saw Morrissey, I was standing next to this young lady, and it was the first time I saw Morrissey, and this was at the Tower Theater. And it was probably the best time I've ever seen him. It was amazing. And she just starts talking to me. She's like, I love Morrissey. I'm like, oh yeah, Morrissey's great, you know. And this is before he said wacky stuff. And
Sure.
she's like, no, I'm really a Morrissey fan. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking this. I'm like, I've got every album, I've got every single, you know. And then she tells me she wrote I think it was 600 word, no, I'm sorry, 600 page fiction novel about Johnny Marr and Morrissey, except for they were Latino and they were gay with each other, and it was 600 pages. And
Oh my
I'm like,
God, I love it.
wow, this person really likes Morrissey.
You can't top
As I
that.
learned, I'm aware I'm not the biggest Morrissey fan, but I like Morrissey. But like compared to Morrissey fans, I'm like 97th percentile. You know what I mean? Like I'm way down, which honestly I'm happy to be.
Yeah.
I'm at the level of Morrissey fandom that I want to be at. You know, and I like being a Morrissey fan because it's a little edgy these days. Just like I like being a Death in June fan, but I don't want to cross that line either. You know, so. But speaking of a band that's not edgy,
Sure.
Human League. Although maybe they are
Human
edgy.
League.
Why? Human League, they are doing their first USA tour since 2011. No Canada date, sadly, for M. Oh, no, Ontario,
Where?
Niagara, Ontario. You can go to that one, M.
Oh, frick. Niagara.
You should go, M. And so, anyways, Human League, of course, Human League, everyone knows is that 80 band that did Don't You Want Me, Baby. But of course, M, fewer people know that Human League is actually a post-punk band or even a noise band where their first single was actually a noise record and their first two or three albums are actually much more in line with Wire or even Psychic TV or Throbbing Gristle. There's a song called On Boy Being Boiled Alive, which is straight up a Throbbing Gristle song, basically. And so their
Oh.
first few records are actually pretty intense, and then they got popular and popular as time went on. That being said, their poppy record, Don't You Want Me Baby, or their first really popular one, is called Dare. Excellent record. Excellent record, super good, super good. But also, most of the tracks aren't as poppy as Don't You Want Me, Baby, which I wouldn't even mind because I love that song. That being said, Human League, I think for a while Human League was thought as an 80s band, but I think now that people have embraced the 80s again, Human League and Gary Numan and even Flock of Seagulls and maybe even Men Without Hats
Men with their hats.
are kind of being appreciated for what they actually are and not what people kind of thought they were in the 80s. You know what I mean?
I think so.
Modern
Yeah.
English. Oh, soft. So
Pardon?
this Modern English is one of those bands as well.
Oh,
Soft
yes.
Cell and Alison Moyet is open. And we're going to talk about Men at Work in a hot minute too. So anyways,
Yes.
I'm super psyched. I love Human League. If you haven't checked out Human League, check out their compilation called A Very British synthesizer band, which really does a good overview of the entire expanse of Human League. Or just listen to Dare because it's a great album. And what do you think these tickets cost?
Ooh, I think these tickets cost $250.
$100, which I thought was high. I mean,
Okay.
let's not get ahead of ourselves here. It's Human League, people. Like I thought this was going to be a $40 banger. $100. I'm like, damn. Which really, they might be Giants really bonused off of the Human League prices because I spent $100 for Human League, and they might be Giants. I'm like, only $40? What a deal! I'll get free.
Yeah.
No, I know. And $100 for Human League seems kind of, the cheapest tickets were like 75. The
Okay.
most expensive were 110, but it was $100 for standing room only in front of that. So I'm like, I'll just get the standing room only tickets for Human League, and that was 100. So my option was $75 or 100. 75 for the worst or 100 for the best. So I'm like, oh, I might as well get the best, But M, I mean, really, M, $100 for Human A is $100 for Human League too much? B, $100 for mainstream shows overall. It seems kind of crazy to me. Now that every show is $100, that seems crazy to me.
Oh, 100%. It's wild because it's like, how many shows can you see if all the shows that you're gonna see cost $100? Probably not a lot because you gotta eat and like pay rent and pay your bills and shit. Like, $100 is insane. And then with the $75 ticket, again, it's the same like what you just said, like the $75 tickets for like a shitty seat. And it's like, well, if I just pay the extra, however much it is, to upgrade it, then I'm gonna pay a little extra, but I'm gonna have a better time and I'm gonna do all this. So they kind of get you into that loop. I think that high ticket prices are justified if you have a lot of people on the bill or if you have a really, really high production value because you have a lot of crew to pay. With Human League, I do not know what their live shows look like. Are they theatrical? Do they have a lot of backgrounds and props
I
and,
mean, it's
things
not
like
like Noir
that?
where there's like it's them lights and smoke. There's not like monsters and
Oh.
stuff like running out. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yeah, then it's definitely not $100.
But here's what it comes down to, and I'm guilty myself. Is sports games, baseball games, football games.
Sports games.
Why does it sound so weird? Sports games, sports events, sporting events,
They are
sport.
games, though.
Sporting events are insanely expensive, at least in America. Like, if you let's use the Philadelphia Eagles, $100 parking off the bat, tickets
Woof.
$300 each. Beer, not that I drink beer. Beer is something like $26 now in Philadelphia. One beer is like $26, and it is
Jesus.
insane. Like, if you take a family of four to an Eagles game, you're dropping a grand easy, 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 $1,000, then easy, right?
Well,
That's not even
yeah.
great seats. That's shitty seats, However, M, every single game is sold out. The people have voted with their dollars, and they voted that they don't care. You know what I mean? And so Ticketmaster or AXS have the every year. It's amazing how much more precise and what's the word I'm looking for? How much more specific AXS and Ticketmaster are, and that they every year they refine getting the very last penny. They've determined that 100, like this show 2 years ago, and would not have been $100. It would have been about $45, maybe 50,
Oh, yeah.
and then AXS just realized, well, we can just double it and people will still come. And I bought a ticket myself, so people vote with the dollars, and they're voting that they don't care, and they don't care.
Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, like sports prices are wild.
Well, but I mean, I'm talking
The
about Human League. I mean, Human League
No, I
is
know.
100. Yep. So I don't know, man. I mean, maybe I will start voting with my dollars. I've been sort of taking it up until now. But then again, I spent $70 for Patti Smith, and it was like amazing seats. And to me, that seems about right. $70 for Patti Smith
Yeah.
doing All of Horses, third row back. That seems about right to me. You know what I mean?
I agree.
But $100 for Human League? Maybe I'm at like maybe Human League is a massive band. You know what I mean? And I don't know. So I don't know, man. It's we're in weird times now.
Very weird times. How
And
many
so
diehard Human League fans do you think there are out there?
You know, I think America and USA are very different. I think in America, I mean, what, did I say America and USA? I think in England and USA is very different.
Sure.
I think in England, Human League is like Dexys, and they're not seen as an 80s band. They're seen as an important artistic band. Like we might see REM. You see what I'm saying? Or like
Sure,
we might
yes.
see, I don't know, any other, B-52s or something like that, And they're not seen
Yes.
as like a throwback. In America, though, there has been, and actually thanks in part to that very British synthesizer group Comp, which really made the argument to see Human League for what they are, not what we think they are. So maybe in the past 10 years, there has been a very much a change in perspective of Human League. And I'm glad for Human League, and I'm glad for Flock of Seagulls and Men Without Hats and these 80s bands that have been kind of are now being appreciated for what they are. But that being said, I don't want to spend $100,
How much would you
So,
pay to see a bill with Human League, Men Without Hats, and Flock of Seagulls?
well, I told you I saw Men Without Hats like what 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were amazing. Amazing, like they really were amazing. Like everyone should go see Men Without Hats. Did I rant about Men Without Hats a little bit, Em, or I didn't?
Just kind of mentioned it in passing. You didn't
No,
really go in on them.
Men Without Hats was incredible, Em. They were incredible. Like so
Oh, that's so good.
they come out and they do the safety dance, which was, but not only did they do the safety dance, they did it in like a high powered, like Men Without Hats was really cool, and that they presented themselves not as an 80s band, but almost like as a modern pop band, in that like all the songs were kind of beefed up with modern pop production, and they were a little faster than they are on the record, and it helped that the singer Ivan was super energetic, and he's like dancing the whole time, he's doing the safety dance, and they didn't shy away from the fact that they were an 80s band, but they didn't say, we're an 80s band, weren't the 80s great? They were like, yes, we're Men Without Hats, and we make awesome pop music, And they just pushed
Yeah.
through, I think, like 8 songs, super high energy songs, super high energy, very much like modern pop production, boom, bap,
Sure.
boom, bap, boom, bap. And it was great. They've got a keytar player. I think it's Ivan's daughter, which is like she's got a keytar, which is hilarious. But they're not ashamed of who they are. But they don't wink at who they are either. Sort of like Flock of Seagulls is a little different. Flock of Seagulls comes out and they don't play the 80s aspect at all. They're like, we're Flock of Seagulls. We're a timeless band. And it's cool. Whereas Men Without Hats is a little funnier, a little campier, but they're very serious that they're here to rock, and they do rock. So they were awesome. And what do you think the last song Men Without Hats played?
They played Safety Dance again, but a different
Yeah.
version.
They did. It was awesome. It was awesome. And he's like, this is for people that got here late. And it was awesome. They were actually so awesome that I went and I bought their last two records. I bought,
Nice.
I forget what it's called, like Men Without Hats Come Again or something like that. And one record is all covers, and they do Men Without Hats style, Lou Reed, Men Without Hats style, Rolling Stones, Citadel, which is cool. Tragically Hip and one other band, and they do them very much. Oh, the Mötley Crüe song. I think it was a Mötley. Yeah, All the Young Dudes. And but they do them as like they do them in, not like those bands did them. They did them in like that high powered pop version, like Men Without Hat, and they were awesome. And what do you think the last song they did on their five track covers EP is?
Is it actually a cover?
Sort of.
They did a remix of one of their other songs.
They did the safety dance. But where the other four songs were kind of sort of glammy songs made in the Men Without Hats, pop dance tracks, they did safety dance in a glam style like Mötley Crüe, and it's super good.
Oh,
It's super clever and super good. Like they're so good. They're so good. So anyway, to answer the question, I
that's
love
cool.
Flock of Seagulls. And well, the answer is M, Flock of Seagulls, do they have technical difficulties like they did Atlantic City, or they do not have technical difficulties?
Do not have technical difficulties.
And all three bands get a full set.
Yes.
150 bucks, that's what I pay.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair.
200 is too high. For a while I said I'm not paying more than 100 for a show, but I think I got to pull that back. I think I got to pull it to like 150 because now every show is $100, So, but listen, speaking of great bands, Men at Work, not Men Without Hats, Men at Work have announced a tour that goes till tomorrow. And they're play and it, but it's a very odd bill. It's Shonen Knife and Toad the Red Sprocket. Em, what do you think of this lineup, Em? Would you go?
This is weird. I would go just to
You're
see what
weird.
it's going to sound like. I just want to know how they're going to transition, how everything's going to fit together. So, out of curiosity, hell yeah. I love weird lineups. Give us more.
Do you think the strategy here is that we're three totally different bands, so we want to link together so we don't like perhaps the concern for Men at Work is we don't want to get locked in as an 80s band because that means you're only ever going to get so much money live. You know what I mean? Or you might even fade
Sure.
away, you know? So is
Yes.
this three different bands saying, let's all play together and that way we won't get tagged as any one kind of band, you know? Or is this like a
True.
desperation package where all bands need each other to really sell enough tickets?
I think it would probably be the former rather than the latter. I think it
Or
would
is this
be
just some
like
drunk? Or is this just some drunk booking agent that made a lot of calls when he was drunk and then he's like, oh God, what did I do last night?
I really hope it's a drunk booking agent or like someone who just like threw a dart and it was like whoever we land on, we book
That's what it
kind of
looks like.
thing. I really hope that was the case because that would be so much fun. I know they're just regular birds, but like we were talking about flock of seagulls and I'm looking at the poster, I'm like, is this a
Does look like
literal
seagulls.
flock of
Yeah,
seagulls?
it does. I thought the same thing. I actually think it might be hummingbirds if you really look at it, or maybe crows, or not. Maybe it is seagulls. Tough to say.
Maybe, I don't know. People
The
who are
re the
really good
reason you
with
say
birds, please.
the reason you're saying seagulls though is because actually, flock of seagulls have a logo they use rarely. They use it on the first 7-inch, and it's actually almost the exact same pose as the birds in the bottom left-hand corner. Those two birds. That is actually the flock.
Oh.
Very similar to the flock of seagulls logo they used for a little while.
Maybe they're trying to be like, hey guys, we are flock of seagulls.
Maybe they tried to be Fox Eagles and they said no, and now they're mad. So they're like, we'll show them. We'll steal their logo.
Yeah. And we'll put on like this insane lineup that everyone's gonna want to go see. There's no Canadian dates. unless it's one of the TBAs.
Too
But
bad. That sucks for you, Em. That sucks for you.
damn. Not fair. But yeah, I think this is gonna be wild. You commented on this. You said I'm going.
I am going.
How much for tickets for this?
Well, tickets go, tickets are
Oh,
so
tickets
annoying.
haven't gone on sale.
Well, they
Pardon?
have like if you have a certain credit card, you can buy tickets, or if you know this guy, you can buy a ticket, or if your underwear is
Oh.
blue, you can buy, like all these weird, like so I think I'm gonna try to get regular tickets tomorrow,
Sure. Yes.
what do you think tickets are gonna cost for this, Em?
Three bands. I'm gonna say 150.
I'm going to say $100. I think it's going to be another $100 smacker, which I'm not thrilled about, but I do love Men
Yeah.
Without. I saw Men Without Hats. I actually missed them last year, although I'm not that. It was Men Without Hats and like Toto, but Men Without Hats were like the opening for Toto, and so I was kind of bummed that I missed it. But it was the same time as Summer Soiree 8, wink wink. So, but I did see them the year before or the year before that. I saw them actually opening for Rick Springfield, and they were, I think I probably talked about on the podcast. They were amazing. Like they sound almost like exactly like the record, which I'm not always a fan of, but I was there and they sounded amazing. And as soon as the concert was over, I wanted to start immediately over again. Like they were so, I mean, I love Men Without Hats. I mean,
Oh,
actually,
wow. Men at
Men at Work.
Work.
Those first two records are astoundingly good, especially the first one, but they're both good. And they sound so good live. And actually, I did see Colin Hay with Ringo, and that was real cool. And so I love Men at Work. They're probably my favorite 80s band, maybe tied with Flock of Seagulls, probably. Maybe tied with Bow Wow Wow. But I definitely want to go to this. Do I show for Toad the Wet Sprocket, though, Em? Or what? Why
Yeah,
so mean?
maybe.
Maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll be
Maybe.
good, Em. You know what? I actually have to, and I'll tell you why. It's at a casino, and that casino seats are all seated, So I don't want to show up and like have to like
Oh.
work my way through like 50 people, which is always annoying,
Yeah.
So I think I'm just gonna have to show up for Toad the Wet Sprocket, and maybe they'll be good, and maybe they'll be good. I mean, honestly, like the way I got in the Flock of Seagulls was I went to see Annabella Bow Wow Wow, and I stuck around for Flock of Seagulls, and I was blown away. And then the way I became a huge Men Without Hats fan was I went to see Bow Wow Wow and Flock of Seagulls, and Men Without Hats were there, and they were amazing. So maybe Toad the Wet Sprocket will be great, Em. I don't know.
Maybe, hopefully they will. Hopefully Toad the Wet Sprocket will be the surprise of the evening.
So I think this is a booking. I bet you all three of these bands are the same booking agent, but I do think it is an attempt to not get tagged as an 80s band or a throwback thing. And I'll tell you
Sure.
exactly why. because the men at work font, I wasn't even sure it was the men at work. Like I thought like maybe this tour's called Men at Work or something, but it is the band Men at Work is. They did not use their famous logo from the 80s. You see what I'm saying? And this poster looks
Yes.
almost like indie rock, this poster, you know? So I think they're specifically trying to argue that they're not an 80s band, they're a timeless band that people should love. And they are a timeless band that people should love because they're great. So I just wish the openers were something I was a little bit more into. Oh, the Shonen Knife might be cool. I've never seen might be cool. Em, tell us about Wolf Parade.
Wolf Parade. Yeah. Okay. So, John, are you familiar with Wolf Parade before
Of
we
course, I'm familiar
begin?
with Wolf Parade. Of course, Em. We're idiots.
Good. Okay. So, they are going to be reissuing their 2005 album, Apologies to the Queen Mary. Last year, they celebrated the 20th anniversary of the album. They did some tours and all that kind of stuff. Now, one of the, again, I'm sure they were going to reissue it anyways because it's been long out of print and all this kind of stuff. But have you heard of Heated Rivalry, John?
No, is it a band? What is that?
Heated Rivalry is a TV show
Oh.
that was made for Crave Original, which is a Canadian thing. And if you are in the States, you can watch it on HBO Max. And Heated Rivalry is a show about hockey and hockey players, and hockey players who are closeted and hockey players who are gay. And it is a great show. The show has, whoops, I just closed it. That's nice. Has a great soundtrack. There, Wolf Parade is on it, Night Lunch is on it, Feist is on it. Like there's all of these really, really awesome artists, and a lot of them are seeing a huge resurgence and new interest in their music because they're being used in the show. Wet Leg is also on the soundtrack. But Wolf Parade, their song I'll Believe in Anything was used in two episodes of the show in the Scott and Kip storyline, and which is one of the groups, and especially in the scene where Scott and Kip kiss on the ice after Scott wins a Stanley Cup, or they don't call it the Stanley Cup in the show. I don't remember what it's actually called. But anyway, in one of the most impactful scenes in the show. So I think it's really cool how something like that has kind of renewed a bunch of interest in all these really awesome bands and artists. And Wolf Parade, along with reissuing the album, they also have a t-shirt. It's not in the article because I couldn't find like a proper kind of embed photo, but that pays tribute to the show and the song. So I think it's really cool. I love when there's like those little crossover moments. So I just thought that was really, really fun and really cool. So what are your thoughts on the kind of song being used in movie, TV, and then they get to do really cool stuff?
I'll have to check it out. I don't know if I've ever heard it. So I will check out Wolf Parade. I always confuse Wolf Parade with Guitar Wolf from Japan, from Nihon.
Oh, no, Wolf Parade is from Toronto. They're really good. They're really
Are they like the
interesting
Hives? Is that what they're
indie
like?
rock. No, not really.
What are they like?
What are they like? They're kinda, oh, I don't know. I have to think about that, how to like properly kind of describe them. They're really interesting, intricate indie rock. They have a lot of very visual lyrics, and the song I'll Believe in Anything really kind of gets in there. There's a melody with everything, but there's still a lot of edge and some bite.
And did you know that Rush is selling a mustard now on their website?
I did not know that. Why is Rush selling a mustard?
Probably, honestly, probably just because like someone that knows Rush is friends with Rush, and they're like, "Hey, can we license your logo to put on a mustard?" And how much? What is the most you would spend for a Rush mustard?
A Rush mustard, $10.
Well, then you are in the market for Rush mustard and $10.99.
Oh wow, is it like I'm picturing like a big kind of tub of mustard.
No, it looks like it's like like a spicy mustard in a jar, and it's got the I think they called the Oracle the naked man flying through the star on the cover.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's really grainy looking.
Well, there
Ooh.
you go. And we'll be running out to buy some Rush mustard. They should have called it Rushdard. Why did they call it Rushdard, Em?
They weren't thinking.
This is a cheap product, Rush. You should call it Rushdard.
Wait.
You should have thought this out.
Wait, wait. Oh, as a food product, this item can only be sold in the United States. And then they have the link to buy it in Canada, but you can't click on the link. Thanks.
And do you want me to buy?
Brad.
You want to mail it to you so you can have a rushdard?
No, thanks.
They go, I'm giving two thumbs down on rushdard. Here's something that I'm giving two thumbs up on. I'm giving three thumbs up on this, M.
Okay, it's a lot of thumbs.
Mosswood Meltdown.
Hell
Mosswood Meltdown
yeah.
coming through in the clutch. And 2026,
Yeah.
tragically, a year without punk rock bowling, M. I'm so sad. I'm so sad. And it ain't looking good for punk
Yes.
rock bowling. But Mosswood Meltdown, which of course used to be Burger, not Burger, there was Burger Mania and Burger Boogaloo. This used to be Burger Boogaloo, but now it's Mosswood Meltdown.
Yeah.
Look at this lineup, Ben. Look at this lineup.
It's so
Saturday.
good.
No, I we'll do Saturday last.
Okay.
Friday, Pavement, Wednesday, and Vivian Girls. Sunday, Bikini Kill.
Hell
Return of
yeah.
Jack Lee and Judy, which is the two women from Sleater-Kinney and Fred Armisen on drums doing Ramones. John, I did it last year with Joe Jack Talcum. I already did it. Sorry. Frankie and the Witchfingers, Frightwig, early SF punk band, awesome. Lost Noobs, and of course the Dead Milkmen. Isn't that interesting, Em? The Dead Milkmen are the same show as they're doing a Ramones tribute. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Saturday, and I'll start from bottom and I'll go to the top.
All
Primitive
right.
Ring, The Fadeaway, Dirt Bombs, The Spits, and Scowl, Odeboke Beaver, and headlining The Man, The Legend, The Champion, Iggy Pop, Mosswood Meltdown, hosted by John Waters.
Yes.
So listen, man. This looks incredibly rad. Like this is like really rad. Like this is almost like that one year when punk rock bowling was John Fest, when it was like Flag, Damned, Coat Hanger, Sloppy Seconds, like all my favorite bands, Dwarfs, like at once. This is almost John Fest. Iggy Pop, Scowl, Spits, Dead Milkmen, Bikini Kill, Vivian Girls, Frightwig, and I like all the other bands pretty much. I don't know all of them, but Odetoke Beaver, like them. Dirt Bombs, like them. Fadeaways, don't know them. Primitive Ring, don't know them. Bikini Kill, big fan. As annoyed as I am by Sleater-Kinney, I'm still excited to see them and Fred do Ramones. Dead Milkmen, love them. Frankie and Witchfingers, cool band. Frightwig, love Frightwig. Lost Noobs, don't know them, but I will check them out. And then, of course, Pavement with it and the Chant Queens, Vivian Girls. Just saw Cassie Ramone last night.
Woo!
This lineup looks awesome, man. What do you think about this lineup?
Oh, this lineup is sick. Yeah,
It
like
really
this
is.
is, it really is. And you have like John Waters on top of everything, and like, oh no, it's gonna be pretty sick. Are
M,
you gonna go?
did John buy tickets,
Sorry?
M? Did
Oh,
John buy tickets?
yes. John
John
definitely
did.
bought tickets.
Guess how much tickets were for Saturday and Sunday combined, M?
Not Friday?
Friday was separate. So, and actually, this will be a very
Oh,
interesting
okay.
game. Saturday and Sunday together, M, what do you think the tickets cost?
$200, 100 each.
$180. Very reasonable.
Oh,
Almost as cheap as
very
punk rock
reasonable.
bowling is $180 for 3 days. This was $180 for 2 days, but you get Iggy Pop and the Bikini Kill. Honestly, I'm like Iggy's the man. How many more years do we have of Iggy being Iggy? Hopefully 100, but who knows? So this is going to
Yeah.
be cool. Plus, honestly, Mosswood Meltdown is an awesome place to see him because it's kind of a younger, hipper, more curated style, but also it's got a flavor. Like you go to Co Riot Fest is cool, but it's like here's a bunch of bands. This is somewhat curated. So it'll be awesome to
Sure.
see Iggy in this context. I'm so like I gotta get my plane tickets are really cheap. I gotta bolt down everything because I didn't go see Danzig on New Year's Eve, which I'm really sorry I didn't. I gotta bolt
Oh,
it down and
yeah.
force myself to do, man. This is gonna be awesome. Pavement Wednesday, Vivian Girls, and what do you think that cost?
$75. I
$100.
think that's
I bought
how
tickets.
much?
$100. I bought tickets. I thought that
Okay.
was a little high, honestly. I think this is really more like a $50 show, not a $100 show, you know.
Yeah, it's a little steep.
But
Little
I bought because
steep.
I'm going to be out there, and you know, I mean, you know, I'm a plane ticket, a few hundred at least, you know. So I'm gonna screw it. Vivian Girls, I love Vivian Girls, so I'll definitely go and make a 3-day event and go to a whole bunch of record stores and go visit Streetlight Records, who we had on Punk News Podcast number 700.
Oh,
So
yes.
this is rad. I mean, I don't know if you had any other comments. I used to go to the Burger Boogaloos when it was still Burger Boogaloos, and it was at the Parkside, which of sadly probably will be closing down. And it was like Shannon and the Clams. I'm trying to think who else was there. No Bunny, Shannon, when it was such a smaller event. Now it's like a full-on festival. Like it used to be a show, basically, you know. Now it's like a full-on
Sure.
festival, which like a big fest, like Iggy Pop. I mean, I don't think he's insanely expensive, but he's not cheap. You know, he's not $2,000, you know. So
Yeah.
I wonder what Bikini Kill gets.
I think they'd get it like a pretty good, cut, right?
You think Bikini Kill gets 50 G's?
Close. Yeah. I would say so. Like, I think they've been around. Yeah, I'd say so.
I think Iggy probably gets about 50 G's, you know. But anyways, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. I'm
Yeah,
super
that's
psyched
gonna
for
be
this.
so much fun. Is it
So
outside
this,
then? Oh, it is
I think it
outside.
is. I think the pre-show is the inside, but I think the outdoor show, obviously, I think that the main show is outside. So I hope it doesn't
Sure.
rain. So this is going to be awesome. And I also like their car. And also like so many modern festivals have like shitty, like the worst one, of course, like those stupid Golden Voice ones,
Oh,
which is like
yeah.
it's just like band names and that's it. I like how they kind of are maintaining the burger aesthetic and have like sort of an amateurish looking drawing with Iggy Pop like flying through the air over top of the audience, which I think is a very cool poster. And also actually, M, if you look at the poster, there's actually homages to most of the bands. There's like the Dead Milkmen Cow down there.
Yeah.
Let's see, who is, can we see anybody else from any of these bands? Maybe, let's see here. Maybe not. Maybe it's just the Dead Milkmen. Maybe the Dead Milkmen Cow is like the only other homage. Anyways, that's cool. It's going to be awesome.
The artist who did it is Janelle Blarg. She's done a lot of really cool stuff.
You know that artist? Like, are you familiar with her work?
I am familiar with her work. She has a lot of really cool stuff. I follow her on Instagram.
Well, there you go. The cool picture.
Yeah.
And also, I'm excited to showing up to Dead Milkman and be like, "Hey, Joe," and him be like, "Hello." I bet you didn't expect to see me out here, did you, Joe? No, I did not.
like that their little thing in the caption is "Bitchin' Camaro owners."
Where do you see that at? What do you mean?
In the caption for the Instagram post, everyone gets a little thing like it's the Godfather of Punk, Iggy Pop, Fiery Japanese Quartet, Otoboke Beaver, and then
Oh, I see.
it's
Right. Yeah, I
yeah,
see.
right before him. It's
I actually
great.
think like I think like Ronnie actually might hate that song, which makes me like I love Ronnie, but I also like annoying Ronnie. That's cool. Anyways, hey Joe, what's going on? I'm so excited to see the set. I'm glad you are excited. Anyways, Joe Jack Calcum, true hero, M,
Hell
true
yeah.
hero of the punk rock scene. All the Dead Milkmen, true heroes of the punk rock scene. Let's see, we
They're
got one more
great.
story to cover, I think. Green
Oh,
Day.
yes. Green
They're kicking off
Day.
the Super Bowl. They're not the halftime show, which is the more coveted spot, but they are opening the Super Bowl. The
Okay.
of course there is a certain political element here because the halftime show is Bad Bunny, who sings in Spanish, and he's from Puerto Rico, right? Bad Bunny.
He's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and
Yes.
so a lot of people were like, "Why don't they have an American do the halftime show?" Well, technically Puerto Rico is America, you know.
Yep.
But so I think even like Trump was like attacking that because he's the worst human ever, you know, well, or close to
Ugh.
it, you know. He's
Ugh.
bad. So anyway, there's a
Bit.
political element in that a lot of, you know, racist people or whatever are against Bad Bunny doing a halftime show. I'm against him doing it because he's not that good of a musician. But if it angers Trump, then I'm all for it. So go Bad Bunny, go get him, you know. But Green Day are opening. And of course, Green Day have been critical of Trump in the past. They are a punk band and they do make political statements sometimes. M,
Yes.
Here's the thing. What do you think of Green Day kicking off the show? Do you think Green Day will make a political statement? And of course, a lot of the audience watching the Super Bowl will be very pro-Trump. Or do you think Green Day had to sign a contract that said they will not say anything anti-Trump? Or did they sign a contract and they're planning on being extremely punk and violating said contract at the show, no matter the cost?
I think they're definitely going to say something. And I think if they did sign a contract, that contract is going to not matter and they're going to do whatever the fuck they want. They just, one of their most recent shows, they called out what's happening in Minnesota. They, called out ICE. They did a bunch of stuff like that on stage. So I think definitely they are going to say something. They are going to make a statement. And I think that's part of the reason why they have them opening instead of doing the main show, the halftime show, because it's like, oh, well, they'll have a shorter amount of time to do this. But I really think they're going to pack as much as they can in that short amount of time. I also think that Bad Bunny, when he performs on the halftime show, is going to pack a lot of shit into his set too, and really make a strong political statement.
Well, I always say I'm not a Green Day fan, but I'm not a hater. And here is Green Day's Dropkick Murphys moment. They've got the power here, and
They do.
they can. Here's what's going to happen to them. Green Day will either prove themselves as a true punk band, or as corporate sellouts. And this is the test, Em. I think there's only two routes here. There's no in between. It's going to be one or the other, Em. What do you think?
True punks.
No, but I'm saying, do you see another course? If they get up there
Oh,
and say,
sorry.
if they get up there and say, hooray, hooray, wake me when September ends, when I come around, hooray, hooray, will you be disappointed if that's all they do?
Yeah. I
So
expect them to say something.
you see there's only two outcomes, corporate sellout
Yes.
or true punks, PUNX.
100%.
I agree.
I think
And
it's going to be true punks.
I think they're going to be true punks, and if so, I will give Green Day the official thumbs up if they do the true punks action. I am surprised by this because, frankly, I am actually very surprised by this because traditionally football and the NFL is conservative in their imagery. Now, of course,
Yes.
I think the majority, if not the majority, a very large percentage of football players are black, generally speaking. African Americans tend to vote Democrat, not Republican, which means generally speaking, but although that actually has changed over the past 4 years as well. So I am so being that this football and NFL is generally conservative, at least in their platform, I'm surprised they're having both Bad Bunny and Green Day. You think they'd have like Bad Bunny and like Kid Rock or somebody, or Bad Bunny and even Keith Urban or something, and so I'm surprised they've got two very left side of the thing bands. And honestly, I would expect the NFL to have them both sign a contract that says you can't say anything about Trump or whatever, But that being said, do you think like the NFL is like suddenly like saying, no, we need to make a stand here? Is the NFL saying that, Em?
Oh. I don't know. I think their music or their booker definitely is, but I maybe. Well, 'cause like they do have like the Colin Kaepernick knelt for the anthem, and then he got kind of
Blackballed or whatever. Right, true.
yeah, but that because he did that, a lot of people started kind of doing that, kneeling for the anthem and getting fined and all this kind of stuff. So I think there's probably more dissent in the NFL than we give it credit for. But I can't really say I don't follow it. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I gotta say, we're gonna find out one way or another. So this will be a very interesting Super Bowl, and I don't even care about football. This will be very interesting. I want to see what Green Day does. I want to see what Bad Bunny does. And what the reaction of the people will be. And of course, there'll be the people like, Green Day, I don't want to care. I don't care about your political opinions. It's like when people go, like, not that I even really love Rage Against the Machine. They'll be like, when did Rage Against the Machine get political? It's like, have you ever once in a Rage Against the Machine, you know? Or their name is Rage Against the Machine, you know? So
Yeah, it's right there.
this will be very interesting, Em. Very interesting. I'm very excited to see what happen will happen. And I'm going to bet that Green Day will be political and anti-Trump. And what does that say about the NFL? I don't know what that says. If that does happen, then I will be very surprised by the NFL. Then I am very surprised by the NFL's actions. Be unless, I mean, it could be, you know, like, and this is stupid, but could it be the NFL sitting on the table and they'll be like, Green Day, the kids like Green Day, right? And people are like, yeah, they like Green Day. Let's book Green Day. Like, does the NFL not know what they're getting into? And
Well, that could be the case because it's like, oh, the kid's like Bad Bunny. Yeah, we should book him.
well, we'll see, and this will be very interesting, and very interesting. And
It's
if
gonna
Green
be
Day
good.
busts on Trump, which I hope they do, I can't wait for Trump's following freak out and him saying no one cares about Green Day, even though they're maybe the biggest rock band in USA right now. Them or Foo
Oh,
Fighters, it
yeah.
doesn't matter, you know. So
Oh, I
Green Day,
think
now's
Green
your
Day.
moment. Now's your moment to make me a fan, Green Day. I know you care about that very much.
Yes. Oh, they're gonna have fun with it, I think. I have a good feeling about it.
Well, that would be that honestly, that would be a very cool moment. That in the I think the Super Bowl is probably the most watched thing in America in the entire year. I think it is. If it's not, it's got to be like one of the top five or three or one. It'll be very cool to see a punk band make a political message in that forum. That'll be very cool.
It'll be so cool. Yeah.
Really, Em, and then we'll wrap this up. Green Day could
Yes.
steal it. Well, if Bad Bunny just does a performance and he doesn't have any sort of message, Green Day could steal the show, you know. But if Bad Bunny has a message, I think Bad Bunny will overshadow Green Day because, frankly, I think he's bigger at this point. I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Let's take a quick look. We'll use the old Instagram as a metric.
Oh, who are you checking? I'll check the other one.
I'm trying to find Bad Bunny, but is he on Instagram? He's got him on Instagram, right?
Yeah, I think he's under Benito.
Is it Bad Bunny PR? Is he? Oh, maybe that is him. Is that him?
What? One minute, one minute, one minute. Let
I think
me
that's him.
connect here. Bad Bunny. Yeah, Bad Bunny PR, Benito Antonio.
So he's got 50 million followers, but he only has two things on Instagram to begin with.
And they're both for the Super Bowl.
That's weird.
He had a full account before. He's doing it just to promote the Super Bowl.
And Green Day only has 7 million followers. Kind of shocking, actually. I think Green Day would have more, frankly.
I thought so too. I thought they'd have at least like 10.
I think they'd have like 50 or 100 million, frankly, worldwide, but I guess they don't. So there you go.
Weird.
There you go.
My
So
father,
Bad
Bad
Bunny
Bunny.
is clearly bigger than Green Day, which I'm not surprised that he's bigger, but I'm surprised he's five times or seven times as big.
Yeah, Sam. Ow. Sam, that's good to see, though, that they're both gonna be there.
Oh, I think it's good to see that Bad Bunny is seven times bigger than Green Day.
Pardon?
I thought you were saying it was good that Bad Bunny is seven times bigger than Green Day.
Oh, no, it's good that they both have good platforms.
Well, this is going to be fascinating. It really is. This is one of the most exciting events in punk this year, I think, and frankly.
You know what Green Day could do? They could, like, along with like calling out Trump and stuff, they could do a song in Spanish
That'd be cool as like a statement.
as a statement, as like a we stand with Bad Bunny.
But well, see, I don't know if Bad Bunny needs Green Day to stand with him. I mean, because he's much
No,
bigger, you know.
he
That's
does
like me
not.
saying I stand with Green Day. It's like, oh, thanks, you know.
That's really helping. No.
Thanks, John. That's what we needed. Anyways, so this will be very interesting. A lot happening this year. A lot of cool records coming out, and we need to do a record to look out for in 2026 article.
Oh, yes.
And so yeah,
Yes.
brah. That's what's happening in punk
Brah.
news. Anything else you want to cover? Anything else you want to talk about, Em?
Exciting stuff. Do you have an album right now that's coming out in 2026 that you're like, hell yeah?
Men Without Hats. Men Without Hats have a record coming out that I'm excited about. Oh, I'll take Easy. I'm Easy Surfboard. The two singles I absolutely love. Surfboard, 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 Surfboard. It's going to be the record of the year, I think. And if it's not, then I'll be mad.
It'll be up there.
So yeah. Okay, well, then we and when will we see them?
We'll see them next week.